Welcome. I'm Nestor Flores, the pastor of Dayspring Church in Mission Hills, California. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I want to invite you to learn more about Dayspring Church by visiting our website, dayspringmh.org. We trust that if you open your heart, God will speak to you and you'll know how to live a life with God at the center that will result in a blessed life. This message will inspire, build your faith, and help you to know God better. Enjoy the message. You know, as we live in this pandemic, one overwhelming factor has been the vast amount of information that comes our way. The internet, social media, radio, podcasts, TV. There's so much information that is just bombarding us. And the biggest problem with it is that much of it is conflicting and full of fear. For almost two weeks, every day I receive some kind of text message, some kind of a message through Facebook of somebody who's inside the Pentagon or the White House, and they're giving us the heads up that the government's going to be closing down our state. You know, that kind of stuff is not helpful. And I don't know what kind of inside they have. My opinion is that it's somebody inside their living room trying to bring fear to others. But there's so much information out there, and many people are asking, and maybe you're asking, as I'm asking, you know, who or what can we trust? Because who we trust will determine the actions that we make, like in the joke that I mentioned. And I want to tell you that not everybody needs to be listened to. Everybody will have an opinion, but not every opinion on the internet, in the TV, in the news, in the podcast is worth listening to. And I am not going to tell you what to trust, but I do want to tell you who you can and should trust. In this and in every crisis, we can and should trust God. Trust can be defined as that feeling of safety and security and comfort in a relationship that we have with someone. And I want you to know that it is safe, it is wise, it is secure to trust God. Look at what Psalms 25:3, if you have it, let's read it together and look at what it says right there. It says, "No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced." Now, I know this is not new to you. However, here's what I do want to emphasize and what we do need to admit to ourselves and to one another. That while knowing that we should and can't trust God, we have a hard time trusting God. We struggle. It's not as easy as we would like it to. And when it comes to who we can trust, the honest truth is that we tend to default to ourselves. Why? Why is it that we default to ourselves? Well, I think that the society that we live in has a lot to do with it. We live in a country of abundance. We live in a culture of self-sufficiency. We are told that we are the captains of our own luck, that this is, that if it's going to happen, it's going to be up to us, that we're the commanders of our own destiny. And while people call this confidence, the Bible calls this attitude pride. And many of us, we maybe don't say it audibly, but we often think stuff like, "I got this. I can solve this. I'll get through." And if you're a Christian, you tend to add a little phrase to the end of that thought and you say, "I got this with God's help. I can get through this with a little bit of help from God." And what we forget when we do this is the powerful words of Jesus when he said in John 15:5, that without me, you can do nothing. So we want to look at a story in the Old Testament of a man named Jehoshaphat. And from him, we can learn how, in a practical way, to trust God. Now, we're not going to read the whole story because it's pretty lengthy. We're going to read a few verses. But I want to encourage you at home throughout this week, or maybe even after the service, for you to read the story. And if you have your Bibles open to 2 Chronicles, we're going to start right there, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2, and look at what it says. It says, "After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom and beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is, Engedi. Jehoshaphat, the story begins by telling us that Jehoshaphat woke up one day to the news that three armies had united to fight against him. And they had become one large army that had gathered and united in Engedi, and they were ready to attack him. His life was at stake. His kingdom, his family's life was at stake. And I think you and I, we can identify with Jehoshaphat. Because one day, and it may have been different for us, one day we began to hear about a new virus. And we began to hear that it had originated in China and that it was highly contagious. And then we began to hear that it possibly and most likely would reach our territory, would reach our state. And then all of a sudden, it was here. And now it's created all this chaos and it's created all this crisis. And our local leaders are asking us to follow the guidelines that they're giving us because they're trying to get a hold of this crisis. And this pandemic has caused a crisis, not just here in Southern California, but throughout the whole world. And many believe that our world will not be the same after this. So the question becomes, what do we do in this crisis? Last week we spoke about how to embrace the changes in crisis. But today, what do you do in this crisis? And that is, you trust God. Now, how do you trust God in the middle of a crisis? Well, by doing what Jehoshaphat did. By doing exactly what he did. Let's look at five things that he did that you and I can do that will help us to trust God. Number one, to trust God, you got to seek God first. You know, we started this year with a series of messages on this topic, on putting God first, on making God first. And I want to remind you of one powerful thing that we said in the middle of these messages, and that is that when God is first, everything else will fall in place. But when God is not first and where he should be, then our life is chaotic. And let me tell you, when we seek God, when we trust God, when we put God first, there will be order in our lives, even if there's disorder around us. Look at what Jehoshaphat did in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It says, then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout Judah. The Bible doesn't hide the fact that Jehoshaphat feared. Jehoshaphat was a great man who dealt with fear. And you know why Jehoshaphat feared? Because he was human like you and me. You know why we struggle with fear? Because we are human. And I love that the Bible doesn't hide the fact that Jehoshaphat was afraid. But it also tells us that he got over it. And it tells us how he got over it. And while Jehoshaphat felt fear, he also gave that fear to God. And he did that by setting to go after God, by seeking God. He chose to give it over to God. And let me tell you, if you're dealing with fear, anxiety, or depression, or any other negative feeling, I want to encourage you to do what Jehoshaphat did. Give it to God. Don't hold on to it. Hand it over to God. Give it to him. Find comfort and peace and security in your relationship with God. Jehoshaphat could have arranged all kinds of meetings with his generals and with his advisors, and he could have done so many other things, but he didn't. He also didn't allow his mind to go deeper in that fear. Because Jehoshaphat could have thought a bunch of negative things, like we're tempted and often think. He could have said, why is this happening to me? Or what did I do to deserve this? But he didn't. He trusted God by seeking God and humbling before God. And he humbled himself. He sought God by doing two things. Number one, he prayed. He prayed. I imagine he must have thought, you know, I can do something and I definitely should do something after I pray, but there's nothing worth doing before I pray first. And this is a good lesson for our lives. We should always pray first. Prayer shouldn't be, well, the least we could do now is pray. No, prayer should be the first thing we do. That is how we seek and trust God. Now, let me confess something as a pastor and as a human being. Many times, I look for solutions before praying. And this is what it looks like. I'll often say, well, Lord, what do you think about my idea? Or, Lord, what do you think about what I was thinking? And what that communicates is that I've trusted in my ability before trusting him, that I've sought my counsel before seeking his. So Jehoshaphat, he sought God first by praying. But second, he also did another thing. He humbled himself before God by fasting. And not only he, but all the people around him. And fasting is seeking God because fasting, it strips our pride. It strips our strength. And when we are weak, then we have to fully lean and trust and depend on God. And Jehoshaphat did those two things. Let me tell you, when we trust in the power of God to help us, and we humble ourselves, and we seek him first, God will get us through every and any crisis. The second thing that Jehoshaphat did that we must do is strengthen your faith by remembering God's word in your prayers. Jehoshaphat didn't have a Bible like you and I did, but he had the stories. He had the Torah, and he had the stories of the great things God had done. And he used what he knew about God to strengthen his faith as he prayed. Look at three things that he did. Number one, he reminded himself who God was. And you got to do the same. Remind yourself who God is. Look at what verse 6 says. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the nations, over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might so that no one is able to withstand you. Jehoshaphat makes four statements about God. The first thing he says, you are the God of our fathers. He was appealing to God's reputation. And God had a testimony towards being loving and kind to his people. He loved them, he took care of them, he protected them, he guided them, he gave them directions, he made promises and fulfilled them, and God had provided everything they needed, and God had a good reputation, and Jehoshaphat made a recall to God's faithfulness. The second declaration that he makes about God, he says, are you not God in heaven? In other words, are you not in control? Is not everything under you? And then the third declaration that he makes is that he says, in your hands are power and might. In other words, no one has power like God. And nothing is too difficult for God. I want you to remember this. God is so powerful. And there's something we need to understand. That if God wants something to succeed, there's nothing that can mess it up. And if he wants something to fail, there's nothing anyone can do to save it. That's how powerful God is. But there's a fourth statement that Jehoshaphat makes about God. And he says, none is able to withstand you. In other words, no one can defeat you. No one can make front to you. No one can stand up to you. Now, who is Jehoshaphat saying these things to? While he's declaring them about God, I believe that he's speaking to himself. He's reminding himself who God is. And you and I, we have the word of God. And we need to strengthen our faith by remembering the promises, the power of God, the word of God in our prayers. Here's the second thing that you got to do. You got to remind yourself what God has done in the past. Look at what verse 7 says. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? So what Jehoshaphat does here is that he recalls the great things God had done. You know, back when I was in Bible school, I remember that it was a big step of faith for me. My parents didn't have the best finances to get me through. And I recall that every semester was a semester in faith because I didn't know how I was going to pay my tuition. I didn't know how my room and board was going to be paid for. And I remember just waking up in the mornings to go pray and say, God, you brought me here. You called me here. You're going to get me through this. And let me tell you something. I was able to finish my 3 years of Bible school. And whenever hard times come, whenever there's times of need, I remind myself and I said, God was able to meet my need then, and he will do it again. And when you remember what God has done in the past, it awakens your faith. And then we're able to make a request. And here's the third point. Ask God to do it again. Ask God to do it again. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, the first part says, our God, will you not execute judgment on them? And Jehoshaphat was saying, God, you delivered us once. Would you not do it again? And let me tell you something about this virus and this pandemic. God has been able to protect his people in past epidemics, in past pandemics, and he will do it again. Let's ask him to do it again. The third thing that Jehoshaphat did that you and I must do to trust God is that we got to set our eyes on God and not on the crisis. Look at what the second part of verse 12 says. For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Jehoshaphat recognized something that many of us refuse to recognize. And that is that we don't have the power and control that we wish we had. Jehoshaphat didn't have power to control the fact that the enemies were coming to attack him. He could not change their choice. But what he did have control was in what he did and how he responded. And he decided to set his eyes on God. He decided to trust in God. In the New Testament, we find the Apostle Paul in his older age in prison. And the Bible tells us that he was away from his home and he was waiting for his day of execution. And everything had been taken away from him. His friends, his freedom, his ministry. They even took away his privacy because he had two soldiers at his side 24 hours a day. And they took so much from him. But they were not able to take away his power to decide. And he couldn't control the circumstances around him, but he could control how he would respond to those circumstances. And Paul, in the middle of that difficult situation, in the middle of a dungeon, waiting his execution, decided to keep his eyes on God and to continue serving God. And the Bible tells us that he would preach to the soldiers that were next to him and that he kept his relationship with God. And you and I, we got to do the same. If we're going to trust God, we got to set our eyes on God and not on this crisis. If we set our eyes on the crisis, our confidence is going to wither away. We're going to lose hope. We're going to get depressed. We're going to worry. And we're going to feed our fear. But if you decide to set your eyes on God, hope will grow. Peace will come. And you will hear from God. Here's the fourth thing that Jehoshaphat did that you must do to trust God. And that is you got to live out your faith. You got to live out your faith. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. Look at what it says. You will not need to fight in this battle. And this is God speaking to Jehoshaphat through a prophet. He says, you will not need to fight this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. All Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. What does it mean to live out our faith? By the way, faith, James tells us, that it's not just the belief of something, but it is a belief accompanied by action. That without action, what we believe It's dead. It's useless. So what does it mean to live out our faith in the middle of this crisis? Well, let me give you a few suggestions. It means that we rest in the faithfulness of God. It means that we practice peace because we trust that God is faithful and He won't fail us. And let me tell you something that I've experienced and that you can experience if you do this. The more you trust God, the more He will amaze you. The longer you walk with God, the more you experience His faithfulness and the more encouraged you are to take action and live out what you believe. To live out your faith means to patiently wait for God to do what He wants to do. And faith is trusting God even when we don't understand His plan. And let me tell you, God has a plan, and His plan will succeed. Living out our faith means that we resist fear. I know in these days, many pastors and even we have been preaching about not fearing. And fear is going to be an everyday battle. But living out our faith means resisting, not allowing our heart and mind to go to that place of fear. And let me tell you something that's going to encourage you, something for you to ponder. Sometimes when things are falling apart, God is actually using them to fall into place. For those of us that are believers, those setbacks are actually setups. And we have to resist fear and just believe and trust God. But also to live out our faith, I think most importantly, means that we hold on to His presence, that we practice the awareness of His presence. Faith comes from knowing that God is with us. Listen, there's nothing more powerful that you can hear than the truth that God is with you. He's in your home. He's with your family. He's in the middle of this crisis. And when you tap and you connect to His presence, let me tell you, your faith will be encouraged and you will live out your faith and not your fear. And here's the fifth thing that Jehoshaphat did that we must do. You got to thank God for His unfailing love. Thank God for His unfailing love. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21. It says, "And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise Him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever.'" Why give thanks to God for His unfailing love? Well, because gratitude reduces anxiety. Gratitude reduces anxiety. Gratitude causes us to shift our focus from the crisis to the goodness of God. And I think you can agree with me that right now we all need a double dose of gratitude in this crisis. Because gratitude changes the way we see things. Gratitude is the antidote to negativity. Gratitude takes the focus off of me and places it on God. Gratitude, when you focus and you start saying, "Lord, thank you for loving me in the middle of this crisis," let me tell you something, you're going to experience more happiness. That gratitude is going to propel you forward. Look back and thank God for what He has done. But look forward and trust Him. Look back and say, "Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your awesome love." But look to the future and trust Him that He has a good plan. Before I end, I want to share a quick story with you. It's a story of a conversation between a man and God. It says that there was a man who one day came to God and he said, "God, I got a couple of questions for you. And I want to be able to ask them, but I want to ask you not to get mad at me. Would you promise you won't get mad at me, God?" And God responded to him and he said, "Of course, tell me. I promise I won't get mad." And the man said, "Well, God, I want to know why you let so much bad stuff happen to me today." God says, "What do you mean?" The man replies and he says, "Well, God, I woke up late today. For some reason, my alarm clock that I set didn't go on. My car wouldn't start. At lunch, when I went to go order my food, they made it wrong and I had to wait in line again to get my food in the right order. And then when I was driving home and I received a call, my phone died before I was able even to answer it. Then I get home stressed out and tired, and my desire is to put my feet and relax in my new massage tool, and it wouldn't work. Nothing went right today, God. Why didn't you do something about it? To which God replies to this man, and he says, well, let me explain. The enemy was trying to rob you of rest last night, so I had to send an angel to intervene and fight for you, and I let you sleep through that battle. I didn't let your car start because there was a drunk driver on your route that would have hit you if you had been on the road. And the first person that made your lunch, they were sick. And I didn't want you to catch what they had. And he says, your phone went dead because the person that was calling you was calling you to deceive you. And I wanted to protect you from that. Oh, and that foot massage that you wanted, it had a shortage, and it would have shocked you, and I was protecting you from that. To which the man says, Lord, my God, I'm sorry. And God responds, and he says, don't be sorry. Just trust me in all things, in the good, in the bad. Trust me that I have your best in mind and that I am taking care of you. Listen, wouldn't it be nice if we could have those kind of audible conversations? And I think that even if we could, our stories would go something like that. And God would say, in the middle of this crisis, trust me. Trust me in the good and the bad. I am going to bring good for your life, for the church, for your family, for the world out of this bad situation.
We hope you enjoyed this message. But before you go, we want to extend an invitation to start a personal relationship with Jesus and declare Him your God. No one loves you like Jesus, and no one will impact your life for good like Jesus will. Would you make the following prayer your prayer? Heavenly Father, I repent of my wrongdoing. I open my heart, and I want to have a personal relationship with you. I trust that Jesus died so I could be forgiven, but He didn't stay dead. He rose back to life so I could have eternal life. From today on, I will follow you. Transform my life through your truth and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations. If you made that prayer, God lives in you and now you have a new life in Him. Connect to a church so your faith and love for God can continue to grow. We believe that you can find a loving and encouraging community in Dayspring Church. Come visit us. You belong here. We would love to meet you.